Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
All right.
Hello.
And welcome
to Off Script,
a podcast
where we compare books to their movies.
Yes, we do.
I'm Bree.
I'm Allie. And today,
we're comparing The Hunt for Red October.
Yes, we are.
And also, I'm just gonna, every time we are here until Loki is much larger and not as playful as he is, I hope you all remember that I got a kitten. And right now he is in play mode because he was just being really good for our collab recording.
Yes. And he attacks me. Like, do you see me itching my legs?
Yeah.
Because they itch. Because he's been
clawing you.
Yes. When I have a little, like, when we look like I have chicken pox. And
I had a dream last night because he scratches me a lot. I had a dream that he's, like, scratched all across my chest, but, like, deep gouges, and that they had been infected.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's because this one's really bad right now, and, like, I've had that for 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
I've started putting Neosporin on it and putting my Band-Aid over it. Because I'm like, it's just in a spot. It's right on my finger. So when I wash my hands and dry them, it gets scratched and irritated.
Yeah. All right. Well, today's listener pick was brought to us by John, a longtime listener. Not your John.
No, not my John.
Different John.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we got, there are not really any trigger warnings.
No.
Just, it's a military book. But we have a picture.
I do. Okay. I do. Because I have to tell you, because you know how John is. John a reader? Would you consider him a reader?
You're John?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
You're absolutely correct.
Okay.
He bought Lev Grossman's newest book when he went.
The Magician's
Guy? Yeah.
Okay.
When he went to Sweden, mm-hmm. which was like a year and a half ago.
Right.
Okay. Not a year and a half ago, probably like a year ago. And he's only read 40 pages of it.
Okay.
And it takes him like 2 hours to read 20 pages.
Okay. Yeah. It's like me.
Yeah. So our D&D group, the person who's my boss at the church, he has been telling us that we need to read Dungeon Crawler Carl. Okay.
Okay.
And it sounds freaking amazing. It's the author is from Gig Harbor. He lives in Gig Harbor. So it's a story that's set in Seattle. And essentially these aliens take over the world, and how they take it over is they get rid of all of our buildings and create dungeons.
Okay.
And there's different levels to it. And there's like, it starts with so many people and only half of them are going to survive. And those who get to the next level are the ones who survive and the rest of them die. And anyone who's in the buildings when these dungeons got made, they're dead too.
Wow.
And so, yeah. And it's a D&D book.
Okay.
Okay. So they tell us to read this, and I'm like, this sounds like a good book. Like, I'll add it to my, like, keep it on my radar, but I'm not going to go and hunt for it because I have so many books to read.
Right.
John was getting ready for site visits this last week. And so, like, last Sunday, he's pulling up his phone, and he's like, I'm going to download the audiobook for the Dungeon Crawler Carl, see how I like it.
Powered through.
He finished book one in 3 days.
Oh, my gosh.
When he was 50% of the way through the book, he went and bought the first book.
Wow. And he read it?
So he didn't physically read it. He read the last chapter because he was like, I bought it. I want to, you know, read it. He plans on buying all the books, even though he got the audiobooks online.
Wow.
He ordered the second one when he was just halfway through the first book. This book has a production studio got the rights to it so that they can turn it into a TV show.
Okay.
And the other night he was here for dinner and he goes, I can't wait for it to be a TV show. And then you'll cover it on Off Script. And that's the next episode I'm going to be on. Okay.
Wow. All right. Sounds good.
And then I told him, I said, and you'll finally be on the right side of which one is better.
Wow. And
he laughed. He was like, I see what you're doing. He likes this book so much. He has now gone and found merch to buy for it.
Oh, my gosh.
He also said that it is currently tied with Magicians to be his favorite.
Wow.
And I was like, I almost think you like it more than Magicians.
Seems like it.
He was like, no. I still love the Magicians. And I was like, all right. But I am thoroughly impressed. And also, this is a guy who I thought he wasn't going to really enjoy D&D as much as he is enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Now when he fucking talks, Allie. First night we had Loki. Loki's running around. First off, Loki's a dipshit. It's the cutest. He loves to chase his tail. Okay. That's even cuter. So he did something the first night and he goes, man, Loki has an intelligence of -1.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then Loki, you can be in this room. You just saw him in that room. You turn around. He's on this bed.
Yeah.
And you're like, fast. How the hell did you do that? Yeah. So John's like, his stealth level is like 1,000. And then the other night was like, you really enjoy D&D. Are you glad that I got you into it? And he was like, no, not at all. But you should probably roll the inside check me.
Oh my gosh.
God damn.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, John
is so fun.
Yeah, John's now an avid reader of a book series and he loves D&D.
Woohoo! So. Way to go, John. All right. Good picture.
Thank you.
All right. Now, let's get this started, shall we?
Let's.
Okay. All right. So here we go. We have Soviet submarine Captain Marco Ramius seemingly goes rogue with his country's cutting edge ballistic missile submarine Red October. So it's a submarine book, military book.
I made a video like this. So for those of you who watch our reaction videos, you're already going to be like, oh, I already knew this, but I'm going to tell Allie. So when I had scheduled this, I was excited because I was like, ooh, I've been wanting to watch this one. So there is a movie that I remember watching like half hour of in world history in like seventh grade or something. And it starred Jake Gyllenhaal. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure it's called October Sky.
Oh, yeah.
And because of October in the title of it, I was like, this is that.
It is not.
So then when the book started and it was about submarines, I was like, I thought this movie was about a rocket ship. And then I'm like, I listened to the audiobook on YouTube and it's got a picture of Sean Connery. And I sat there and I was like, I don't think this is the one that I thought it was. So I was kind of bummed.
Oh, all right. So we got author Tom Clancy, director John McTiernan.
Tiernan.
Screenplay writer Larry Ferguson and Donald E. Stewart. And I read audiobook reader with Scott Brick, but we don't know if we did the same one. I did it on Audible.
I did mine on YouTube, and it was a dude who sounded like he was trying to be Sean Connery.
Mine wasn't.
Yeah, I literally was like, this dude had to have watched the movie and been like, I'm going to adopt his voice for the character.
So funny. No, my guy was just normal. I mean, he wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. He did like the Russian accent pretty good and everything, but
yeah.
The book came out October. Hey, October. I wonder if that's why.
Funny.
1984. Movie, March 2nd, 1990. That's 6 years difference.
This was definitely a 90s movie.
Oh, I could see it.
100%. Totally. Mm-hmm. But the cast, fucking loved the cast.
It was a good cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darth Vader. How can you fucking go wrong?
All right. What'd you do first?
I read it first.
I watched it first. Thank gosh. Because I would not have been able to take notes. I could like sort of. Because the thing with this one, it is all dialogue except for the last like hour. Of the audiobook. Mm-hmm. And I, as we've figured out in the past, like with Dune, I can't, how do I take notes on that? I'm not going to take notes on all of the talking. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot like the submarines attacked each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the captains were talking to each other. Yeah. So.
No, about like an hour and a half into the audiobook, I realized I was like, I'm glad Allie's watching this first.
Oh, my gosh. Me too.
Because I knew I was not understanding fucking shit. I was like, I need her to.
Oh, my gosh. All right. And our initial thoughts. I mean, it's a classic, I guess. I can see why it's a classic. But I'm just not into military and submarines. So it wasn't for me.
This was not my cup of tea at all. I am not into submarines. And I'm not into war.
I can see how someone who likes Tom Clancy or is like in the Navy or something would eat this book up.
Oh yeah. I'm also pretty positive that a friend of mine's dad loved this movie when I was growing up. Uh-huh. And I could see why, but for me, no.
Yeah. And we did the Sean Connery one. Does the John Krasinski, is it just Tom Clancy things and Jack Ryan things, or do they do the books for the seasons? Do you know what I'm talking about? His prime?
I'm pretty sure it's the books for the seasons. So Jack Ryan has his whole series.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is part of it.
Okay.
He's in it.
Right.
But I don't know if it's part of it. Yeah.
Because that was the picture on my audiobook.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh.
All right. And we picked it because John, longtime listener, chose it for us.
I'm taking a picture currently to show you all how much more Allie's going to be filling.
Oh, no.
Loki's cuddling with her phone.
Oh, gosh. Going to be sneezing and red eyes forever.
Horrible.
That's all right. All right. So now I got some super fun facts for you. Sir Sean Connery spent time underwater aboard the USS Puffer preparing for his role. That's a cute name. That's not very like
Navy
and like tough. The USS Puffer. He was given commander status and allowed to give commands while underwater with the captain by his side. It's kind of cool.
That's super cool. Submarines are like one of my biggest fears, man.
I know.
I am claustrophobic, and I've realized that I am really afraid of deep water.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. What was it? Kristen Stewart had a movie about being trapped at the bottom of the ocean. Mm. Yeah. And that's when I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah, that would be too much.
So, yeah, that's all I could think about when I read and watched this. I was like, no, sir.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
After the release of Tom Clancy's novel, The Hunt for Red October, some members of Congress contacted the CIA demanding to know why the Russians had invented the Caterpillar, like sub things, before the U.S. Navy did. Although the results were good research, the Caterpillar drive is pure fiction.
That's hilarious.
The CIA is like, what the hell? And he's like, it's fake.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. Alec Baldwin stated that this was the role effectively that launched his career. Although he had prior movie successes, most were smaller roles, and he was therefore considerably lesser known actor before landing the role of Jack Ryan. I didn't even know he was in it until I watched it. I was like, oh,
same. I thought you meant like after you'd watched it.
No. I recognized him.
Oh, shit.
Alan. I recognized him, but I was like, this is what launched your career, and I didn't even know you were in it.
I know. Same. For me, it would be Beetlejuice. That's what launched your career, sir.
Oh my gosh. The fighter crashing into the flight deck was stock footage of an F-9F Panther test flight in 1951. This particular aircraft was piloted by an official test pilot, George
Chamberlain
Duncan. Duncan survived the crash with minor burns, and after a few months was back flying again. So that was like a real plane crash. Cause
that's crazy.
That was in the 90s when it was too hard to do fake ones.
That's crazy.
When the movie was first released on VHS, 1991, the tapes were red.
Makes sense. I miss VHS because they were fun colors.
The orange Nickelodeon ones. Are we ready to get started?
Let's.
So we got Soviet men are driving a submarine called the Red October. The captain of the ship had this plan. And two men who were in charge of the missile key had a chat. In the end of their chat, the captain killed the other one. He called the doctor and was like, oh my gosh, this accident. He slipped on his drink and he took the missile key that the other guy had. So now he has both missile keys.
That happens, except for it's more like a fire that he causes. And that's the accident.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Sean Connery.
Yes. The captain told his crew a lie that they're going to Cuba if all is successful. And all the crew is really excited. And some of the higher ups are like, what is happening?
That did not happen in the movie. He just pretty much was like, no, we have to stay on track.
Yep.
And his crew. Oh, can we talk about Tim Curry in this?
Yes.
I fucking love Tim Curry in this. It's also not only is it Tim Curry in this, but it's baby Tim Curry in this.
No.
Oh, I loved it. I was like, hey, Frankfurter. Hey, it. What's up?
He reminded me from Home Alone. That's what he seemed like to me.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're with Jack. He's an American. He has a daughter and a son, and he's doing work with the CIA. Then we jump to someone talking with about trapping Ramius, who is the Sean Connery character. And it's never been done before. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to be the first one to get him.
Yeah, that pretty much happens.
Mm-hmm. But Jack,
he doesn't have a son. He only has a daughter. Son.
Yep.
I was just realizing that. I was like, wait, hold on.
Yep.
That's a difference.
Yep. So Ramius had the doctors watch over some of the new recruits. And his excuse was he wants to see how they do, but not while the captain watches them. In reality, this was so that he could have a meeting with all of the people who were in on this secret mission. And we get all of Ramius's backstory about how he was baptized Catholic, which wasn't allowed because this is all during the war, right?
Yeah.
The whatever war.
Cold War? I don't know. It's during a war.
He made friends growing up, but the friend ended up getting killed by the Japanese. Oh, it's during the World War.
Oh.
So he was really happy when the Americans beat the Japanese in the war. And we learned about his wife and was the love of his life, but she ended up dying due to incompetence. A doctor came in drunk, worked on her. Her appendix burst and she was given medication that was not tested by FDA or whatever it is in Russia. And Ramius just grew angry. And he was also a wonderful captain. He believed promoting those who deserved it, not just based on family rank. And eventually he decided the ones to pay for his wife's death was the state. So he came up with this huge revenge plan. That's the whole plot of the book, is this revenge plan.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it. This movie is not really set during the war. Mm. It is more recent. Yeah. It is more, well, it's modern for the 90s, I should say. It's not like modern day today.
Yeah.
And I don't remember them saying that it was her appendix bursting in the movie. I just remember them saying that he was out to sea when she died.
Yeah, that's all I remember too.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought she was out to sea with him, but apparently
probably not.
Yeah.
So we got Jack Ryan wanting to tell people about this submarine. He's like, there's this really cool submarine. The Russians have it. And he goes to talk to the higher ups and they chat with him for a bit. And he's like, look, there's these weird doors on it. We don't know what they are, but I have a friend that can tell us. So he was also shocked that found out that this Red October sailed a week earlier than it was supposed to. He is looked down upon from the CIA because he's a newer member. He wanted to meet with his old friend, Skip Tyler, who is awesome with submarines. And he met with him, showed him the pictures and says, this is extremely classified. You can't tell anyone. Tyler had a good guess of what these doors were. Basically, they're propellers that come out and make the submarine go really slow, but it's really quiet. And so he was doing more research to figure out how slow it went. So he's like, give me a week and I'll be able to tell you.
This pretty much did not happen.
He talked
to people about the submarines, but he never was like, he didn't want to go meet up with his old friend. He was always just talking with his bosses and stuff.
Yeah.
BT Dubs, one of them was Darth Vader. How can you go wrong with that boss?
So we're at the American submarine now, I think. And they are discovering that there's this weird noise out there. They believe it's another submarine. They're trying to decipher. It's very quiet. It's perfect for hunting. It's just they're trying to figure out what it is.
Yeah, that does happen in the movie.
Okay. We're with the CIA and Ryan and his crew are talking about the submarines. There is a meeting with the president and all the higher ups of the government. Ryan is sharing about how the Red October was released And then 4 hours later, 14 other ships were also released, like tracking this Red October. He believes the reason is they're going to attack their own ship. President confirms with another that this is accurate. He wanted to know Ryan's opinion, even though he's a lower level. The president held Ryan back after the meeting was over, and he gave him instructions that, hey, you're going to be a spy on our own ship, and you're going to spy on the Americans to make sure everything's going good. Ryan did not feel good about this.
Yeah, this pretty much happens.
Ryan hates flying. The guy let him know on the ship that the plan, he like captain of the ship or whoever's on the ship, let Ryan know the plan of what they're going to do. And Ryan wondered if he knew he was a spy because he seemed pretty chill about everything. He told him that, hey, you're going to be here for a while. So he grabs a cot and goes to sleep.
That all happens except for the cot part.
On the Red October, the doctors get information that there was a radiation leak. He let Ramius know. The Red October sent their youngest officers in to look for that radiation, and he found nothing, and he was sent to look again and again, nothing.
I don't remember this happening in the movie. I don't think there was a radiation leak. No. I feel like the movie cut out some of the, like, random extra bits, because it was just like, here's his revenge plan, and this is what he's doing for it.
Yeah, because this book, you guys, is a 19-hour audiobook, and they put it into a 2-hour movie, so they had to cut stuff.
Some things.
Ryan woke up, and it turns out he slept for like 18 hours, and he finds out that things are about to go crazy.
Crazy. He never went to sleep, so
stuff just went crazy.
Yeah.
The president had a meeting with the Russian leader, and they talked about what's going on. The other leaders thought how he can't label this as a rescue mission because they're trying to save, like, is their plan to save the Red October or different ships?
Originally, it was the Red October.
Okay. And he's just, he can't label it as a rescue because the Americans just eat it up when they have to go rescue someone.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this does happen in the movie, actually.
Okay.
There were random scenes in the movie with the Russian leader talking to the president. He was like, well, so I told you it was a rescue mission, but really, this is what's happening. And then the president's like, what the fuck? And then he's like, well, I need you to rescue a different submarine, actually. He's like, what the fuck?
So Tyler spoke with his higher ups about the situation. He obviously didn't give all the information because it was classified.
Tyler.
Skip Tyler.
Oh.
My Tyler.
For a second, I thought, I was like, are you sure it's not Ryan?
Nope. He was classified, so he gathered information from his higher up. He made a call to Jack, but he wasn't there, so he spoke to anyone at the CIA. And his boss walks in, and he finds out, and he's not happy. He's like, why are you talking to the CIA? And he's like, that's my job. Sucks for you. The CIA is talking about information, trying to figure out a plan. They don't want to kill everybody on the ship. Like, they're like, we're not going to do that. So we have to figure out how to stop this ship because we can't escort the ship to our safe base because then they'll know where it is. So what are we going to do? They came up with a plan to remove people from one ship and put them on another ship. And they don't, that way they don't also destroy the Red October so they can take it and study it. On one of the Russian subs, stuff's going down in the engine room. And they're going faster. And at one point, the other ship starts going towards them. There's this other ship and it, wait, no. This is the ship stuff's going down on, and it goes at like a 45 degree angle, and submarines aren't supposed to do that. And then everybody on the ship died except the cook. They were either suffocated because the ship sunk to the ground and they ran out of water or ran out of air, or
they ran out of that water,
or the water got rushed in and crushed everybody. That'd be an awful way to go.
I kept waiting for this part to happen in the movie, and it did not.
It did not.
No, I was ready for the other crew to die and for the one person to get saved, and it did not. I was like, oh, well then.
Okay. Tyler explains the plan to his crew. They got on the phone immediately, started executing the plan, and a random American submarine noticed Russian submarines coming, and he decided to get them out of there any means possible. We're now with a Russian airplane, and it's about to do something to an American base. He's getting closer to the American, or closer, and the American pilots come out and like, yeah, turn around. We got missiles on you. And he's like, oh, I don't know if you do, but I'm not going to risk it. And he turns around.
Are you sure that was an airplane? I think that was the submarine.
Was that a submarine?
Yeah, I think it was the submarine. That part does happen in the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering why then later the airplane came back.
Yeah.
So it doesn't. There's only one airplane scene.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That makes sense. So the Russian leaders are talking, and we find out that they have a spy on the Red October because they know Ramius is questionable.
They had this in the movie, too. It's just that it wasn't revealed until like one of the last scenes, because obviously, why would you tell that early on?
Right. So the Russian president and the U.S. president are having a meeting, and they're talking about rules of war and stuff, like how one ship can't shoot at another ship. So they kind of just sit there. Like, that was 90% of the movie, just these ships or the book sitting there looking at each other because they can't each shoot at each other.
Yeah.
So they're trying to trick each other to shoot first.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yep.
And so the U.S. military comes in and they find survivor of the plane crash. Wait, not plane crash. Oh, of the submarine crash, the one that the cook that survived. And the U.S. president's like, we're going to do everything to rescue this man.
This does not happen in the movie.
Back and forth about a flight that was coming near the U.S. area, and both ships and Russian American start shooting at each other. Okay. A doctor flew in from BYU and he's taking care of this patient who is saved from the submarine. Military come in, the Russian military, and they're like, we want to talk to him. The American doctors assured them that they would do everything to save this man. Frustrations arose when they couldn't identify him because he didn't have dog tags, which both parties blamed the other one for. And they discovered, or the doctor discovered, he was on a radiation sub, which he's pissed off about because he's like, that's like need to know information from the get go. Why did no one tell me?
Yeah, that does not happen in the movie.
One of the Russian soldiers is getting frustrated, saying we need to get rid of these Americans. And the leader was like, no, we're just going to play peacefully. It's going to be a trick and then we'll get them.
Yep, that happened.
At the hospital, the doctor's getting very suspicious of these Russians. At one point, he ran in and yelled, said, you're going to kill the patient, because he thinks that they are worried that this patient is going to leak information that he's not supposed to the Americans. So he thinks that the Russians just want to off him. So it turns out all this guy wanted to do was light a cigarette in this hospital, because that's what you did in the 80s. Mm-hmm. But this guy's hooked up to oxygen. He legit didn't know that that would explode the whole place.
Yeah, that does not happen in the movie.
Other people are worried that the doctor overreacted, and he's like, what else was I supposed to do? Again, that didn't happen because there's no doctor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're on the Dallas, which is a submarine, and it's an American one, and they let their higher ups know what was going on. They're trying to come up with a game plan of what to do, and the press just released that they have a Russian in the U.S. hospital. So media is not happy.
Yeah, and that doesn't happen in the movie. Mm-hmm.
The driver of the Dallas got information that he didn't understand, which frustrated him, and they had a conversation after. He's like, or their crew members, like, they had a conversation over radios. He's like, oh no, I think they heard us, like beeping in or whatever, like listening in.
Beeping in.
I don't know, because there's pinging. Submarines do pinging later.
Yeah.
And he's like, they were supposed to.
My brain, because you said the pinging part, I was like, yeah, this happened. But now I'm realizing that's the part that happens later. I was thinking of. Yeah, that does happen.
So Ramius and his crew are freaking out because there's an enemy ship on their tail. All the men on the Dallas knew that they were going to be found. Okay. Back and forth between U.S. and English ships, because there's an English ship in here, too, and the Russian ship. So it's like the way this book was written, you guys, it's like not just chapters. Like, there's a chapter for every day. Mm-hmm. And then it goes the Red October, the Dallas, the CIA in the chapter. So I couldn't take notes on my notes would have been the whole book. So I had to just adjust. All right. So we're flipping between all these submarines and about how they're getting closer to each other. The English let the Russian ships know, hey, a bunch of your men are coming after you. And both Russian and American subs are confused and freaking out a little bit.
I feel like in the movie, there were only two subs.
It felt like it.
Yeah, I'm not sure that there were three.
Or like
14.
Yeah. Yeah. I also really thought it was really fucking cheesy, the special effects for the movie, like with the missiles and the submarines. Yes. I was like, oh, so it's 90s.
So both the Russian, oh no, there were some American soldiers who were called to do something and they were confused until their commanding officer, until their commanding officer said, "You guys are going to get a look inside a Russian submarine." And then they got nervous because they're like, oh my gosh, we have to go in the submarine. What is happening right now?
Yeah, that part did not happen.
So where's this guy? And he's at his apartment. And a girl's like, hey, I just moved in down this, like, the hallway. And I haven't even set my phone up yet. Can I call my girlfriend? Because she's like, I'm going to meet up with her for lunch and I need to let her know. Or my sister or whatever. And he's like, yeah, yeah. Because she's cute. She makes a phone call and then the FBI come because she's an undercover agent.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was so sneaky.
That was sneaky.
I was thoroughly confused. I was like, whoa, 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 what just happened?
I know, right? I was like, why are they in an apartment right now?
Yeah. Yep. Same.
Did that happen?
Oh, no, that did not happen in the movie.
In the Red October, there's more radiation leaks. And after more examination, it's not a radiation leak. It's some other mechanical issues. And they got their snorkel out to get air from up above and get that bad air out. And throughout all this, Ramius was staying very calm.
I don't think this happens in the movie. I don't remember it happening.
Now we're at the airplane crash. He's trying to land on a boat and it crashed. That ended up being a survivor. The survivor had these documents that Ryan needed to overlook. And he called Washington. He spoke to the president. They had to do a little, like, change of tactics, and he was granted an English sailor that could speak Russian to go with him. He spoke to the English sailor and they came up with a game plan that would take 5 days to get to where they needed to go.
Yeah, that did not happen.
So the guy that was arrested was someone in the government, and it turns out he was spilling information to the case about the Russian spies. About the case to Russian spies, even though he was deliberated, so did not tell anyone. And then they explained all this information of how they caught him.
That did not happen in the movie. They really just focused on the submarines in the movie.
Yep. Then we have back and forth between October and American subs. And they got on board the Red October. And Jack confirmed what he thought their plan was true. They're going to escort the sailors off and they're going to pretend to kill off the captains in a fake sub explosion because they're going to explode one of the American subs that has no one on it. And one sailor made up a lie saying, I got to go get my cassette player. I spent all my money on it. And they're like, whatever, go get it. And he didn't return. He was listening in on their conversation and he decided to take Ryan and Ramius out. A gun battle happened with Ramius and Ramius was shot. Jack got the other guy and they turned the keys to do something with the missiles. And then they got off the ship.
Yeah, that part does happen in the movie.
Both the Russian and the American leaders were told BS stories to keep Ramius and his crew safe. They went out and looked for the sunken ship. The Russian leader said it was an attack ship, but they found a boomer ship. And the Americans are like, you lied to us. Right? Like, you lied to us. We're not going to help you anymore.
I don't think that happened because basically once they follow through with their plan, Jackson, Romulus's, the movie's over.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're on their little lifeboat and movie's done.
All right. Well, we got more. So here we go. The Russian leader and the president spoke. The Russian leader was pissed off and said the president was kidnapping some of his people. The president was pissed, said absolutely not. He gives everyone the opportunity to leave, but the Russians chose to stay. After more discussion, the president left. No, the Russian guy left. And someone came out of the closet because he was listening in and asked the president if he thought this would work. And the president's like, yes. The Russians are talking. They're trying to get to the bottom of this and they're throwing around ideas and they remember the events that happened. And they're trying to decipher if this is a CIA scent or an accident. And Jack and Ramius and the other Soviet guys all are chatting to get to know each other. It was kind of cute. I liked listening to them be like, in America, there's going to be, you know, everyone has a car if you can afford a car. And they're like, what? and all this stuff that America got to do that Russia did not. And Russian ships are tracking and looking for the Red October because they don't believe that it crashed. And the ships see each other, but neither one's allowed to shoot. This is the whole wards of rules of engagement thing. They ended up
wards
of engagement. They ended up like pinging each other, trying to like make the other one shoot. And eventually one does. And the battle breaks out. Red October gets shot. Huge hole in the ship. Jack's on it. Battle is going. And eventually the Red October wins.
Well, what's funny is the pinging thing does happen in the movie, but it happens way before the whole like shootout thing.
Yeah. And then we have the aftermath with all the military guys talking about what happened and the future. And Ryan is telling the Soviet soldiers all about life in America and how it is going to be amazing for them. And on his way home, he fell asleep for the first time ever on an airplane. All right, let's do some cast. There were 66 people cast for this movie. We have, of course, Sean Connery as Ramius.
I mean, I feel like anything he does is good.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's good. We have Alec Baldwin as Jack Ryan.
Again, he did good.
Yeah, he was so little.
Yeah, he was a baby.
Yep. We have Sam Neill, Captain Borodin.
He was little in this one, too. I was like,
no.
Oh, you a little baby.
James Earl Jones, Admiral Greer.
The best admiral there is.
He was good.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Curry, Dr. Petrov.
It was crazy to me to see him play someone who was so, I don't want to say spineless, but that's almost what he was. He was someone who didn't have a backbone and who could tell that things were wrong, but really didn't want to be the person to say they were wrong.
Yeah.
And it was just weird to see him play it, but he did good.
He did. Very much so. Are the theme of the book and the movie the same?
Yes.
Yep.
Submarine warship.
Yep.
Worship, war story is what I meant.
Do the characters stay true? Yes.
Yes.
What do you prefer? I think I gotta go movie because I understood it more, I think.
Yeah, same. I would have to go movie more because it's hard, especially when you're doing an audiobook, when it's just strictly dialogue, because then it's hard to follow who's saying what and what's going on. Mm-hmm. So the movie makes it a bit more easy to understand.
Yes, I agree. Would you recommend it to a friend? Me personally, I would not. But if my friend was super into military, I'd say, yeah.
I was just going to say only if I knew that the friend was into stories like this, I would.
Yeah. All right, you guys. That was The Hunt for Red October.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. We got a little sneak peek for you.
What's coming up?
We got Nerd Party coming up in less than a week.
Less than a week.
Come to Kent, Washington. Find us. Be Come on our podcast.
Hi. Yeah. Chat with us a little bit.
Yeah. Should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
We have a website. Offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
Don't forget to sign up for your newsletter there.
Yes, Brie works so hard on it.
Mm-hmm, I do. And that will keep you up to date on what's going on.
Yes, it will. And probably don't have a mini-sode this week.
Most likely not.
But hopefully next Monday.
We're going to be doing the, I always say this title wrong.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Guernsey Letter and Potato Peel Pie Society, I think.
Guernsey Literacy.
Literacy. Thank you. See, yes. I always screw up something about that title. So I just started. Oh, that's hilarious.
Guernsey.
I literally just started calling it the Guernsey Letters.
Oh, well, I mean, the book.
It's literally the Guernsey Letters for sure. 100%. But that's not its title.
Nope. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So hopefully you'll get that Monday.
Hopefully.
If not, you'll get it soon.
Yes. We're trying, y'all.
Yeah.
We're playing catch up.
Yeah, we are.
And yeah.
Right. With that, The Hunt for Red October
went off script.
Bye.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shout outs to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticism to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.